Hi, everyone. It's good to see you. Just going to share a few words tonight about prayer. And with that said, let's pray. Father, we bless your name tonight. We worship you. Please lead us this week with this emphasis on prayer. Give us things that will remain with us. We pray that our armor would be sharpened, that we would take up armor that we've never taken up before, that we'd become wise in ways we haven't been before. Use this time, each session, Lord, to speak to our hearts. May we listen and apply and obey with joy and a sense of urgency, knowing what's at stake, knowing what's waiting for us, being conscious of the enemy, and knowing that you are the mighty God who listens. And you have listened to people just like us who've cried out to you in prayer throughout the ages. May we be among that number too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians 6, please. Verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And that's what I'd like to speak a little bit about tonight. Praying in the Holy Spirit. My Christian life sort of began with prayer. I started praying about 2 years before I got saved. My parents had split up, and I remember just in my own way, I started to cry out to God. I didn't grow up really in a Christian home. We went to a traditional church occasionally for a few years and then didn't go anywhere. And I remember just asking God for help with things in bed. And then it kind of evolved to praying on my knees maybe a year later. And I had these lists and I would just cry out to God for certain things to change in my home situation, at school. I remember praying about, I had this opportunity to go to this all-boys prep school, and I remember praying for wisdom, because I felt like there was really no one guiding me, and I had this choice before me, and I just remember saying, Lord, just show me what to do. And then finally, I looked at the brochure, and there were some, like, alumni on the brochure, and they all looked so goofy. They all had, like, their hair parted on the side, and they all kind of look like these astrophysicists, and I thought, I don't want to be like that. Anyway, but I felt like God was just somehow, like, involved. And then I remember one night my mom walked by my bedroom, and I was on my knees, and she said, what are you doing? And I said, just adjusting my clock radio. I wasn't saved yet. And then the next week we were driving. We're driving down the main drag in Wakefield, Massachusetts, and I saw a cross on the top of a church, and I got really convicted, and I said, you know what I was doing that night? I was praying. And she kind of looked at me like, what is going on in my family? Anyway, got saved shortly after that, and then prayer changed. It wasn't lists anymore, but it became alive. Praying always with all prayer in the Holy Spirit. I loved a few things Pastor Schaller said in his introduction to Pastor Stambowski's message. Two words remained with me throughout the day: sweet spot and milk toast. I was thinking, what could be flimsier than milk toast? Toast is so weak, but milk toast? Toast that's been dunked in your coffee, there's nothing to it. It's falling apart. Many prayers are just milk toast. You know, they're like a shortbread cookie. I mean, the life of that cookie is like, you know, milliseconds. And a sweet spot. Often we're not attracted to prayer because we haven't remembered the sweetness of that spot for a long time. and the devil has blinded our eyes to the glory and the joy of just being in the presence of God and speaking to him and crying out to him. We know that sometimes prayer isn't prayer, right? Like in Psalm 66, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And then the psalmist goes on to say, but I bless the Lord. Verily, truly, he has heard me. Sometimes it seems like our prayers bounce off the wall. Perhaps in some of those times, we attempt religiously to draw near to God, but we're not filled with the Spirit at that moment. And what is it to pray in the Holy Spirit? Is it to put emphasis on the final consonant of some of our words? Have you ever heard those kind of like Holy Spirit prayers? God, in the name of Jesus, I come. You know, those kind of like arousing. Is it that? We know it's not that. Is it to say the same thing again and again and again? We know it's not necessarily that. The Pharisees aren't heard for their much speaking. You know, they have their reward now. But it's mysterious when it happens, but there is a yielding and there is a submitting to God and there is a secret denying of self and taking up our cross. And at that cross, we find resurrection life. And it's a moment, a mystical spiritual moment, where suddenly we enter into the presence of God in prayer. And suddenly the list or the religious exercise becomes sweet in his presence's fullness of joy. And we find power. And in that power is love, that you would know the love of Christ that goes beyond knowledge, that you'd be filled with all the fullness of God. And there's that sense of fullness where things that were attractive a moment ago no longer are. And that's amazing. If we have a problem with temptations, fleshly things, distractions, sometimes there's nothing better than a Holy Spirit prayer meeting between God and us. And suddenly everything comes into focus. And those things that seemed clinging lose their grasp and their grip, and we find this authority. We might not call it an authority, but we find a freedom and a direction that we didn't have before. And it works both ways. Distractions can really keep us from prayer. Pastor Schaller was talking about it this morning, how we need to just turn things off and spend time with God alone. And then the flip side of that could be when we find that sweet spot, that moment where we're crying out to God and we know he's heard us and he's somehow communing with us, somehow all the rest loses its power. I remember a missionary came here to visit, one of our missionaries back in the, I think it was the late 90s, a couple years after my wife and I came here from the mission field. I remember we had gotten in this habit of watching sitcoms at dinner time. We had no kids. And I remember after this missionary spoke, it was like the next night after I got home from work, and I said, Linda, we can't watch that tonight. And she felt the same way, because that message had touched our hearts so much, we did not want to lose that. And so I think when I prayed a little while ago, I said something like, so much is at stake. Isn't that a big part of this? Like, evangelism is a huge part of our prayer life. If I'm distracted and attracted by little things that are like really acceptable in this society, but they still have a hold on me and no one really knows it, they rob me of my authority. They cause my prayers to go from iron to milk toast. They take away an effect. And when I go to speak, there's something lacking. Like when in the Psalms where it talks about a leanness, Remember, they got their request, they got what they wanted, but there was still a leanness to their soul. When there's a lack of Holy Spirit prayer, Holy Spirit communion, a pleading, an urgency, there's a leanness to our soul. And we sometimes wonder what's wrong. Remember in Acts 1 when they asked Jesus, are you going to establish the kingdom now? And then he said to them, it's not for you to know this. It's not for you to know the times and the seasons that the Father has given unto the Son's power, but you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and then you'll be witnesses unto me. And that makes me think of prayer. We draw near to God, we cry out to God, we purpose to listen to God, and there's power, and the purpose of the power, in one sense, is for the lives of men and women. You know, I don't know what caused me to cry out to God when I was younger, before I got saved, but sometimes I think maybe someone prayed for my family 15 years before, 10 years before. I learned much later that someone had given the gospel to my dad. I wonder if that man, filled with the Holy Spirit, prayed and blessed his family. You know, I was probably a baby at the time. Could that prayer have been valid? Yes. So the effect of our prayers can go way beyond what we expect. So this is just an encouragement that we would never think of prayer as something the person who's afraid to knock on doors does. It's like hiding on the Blitz bus, you know? Maybe the warrior is on the Blitz bus. You know, maybe that's the power. Praying in the Holy Spirit. I love those words in Jude. Building up yourselves in your most holy faith. Praying, but not just praying. Praying in the Holy Spirit. And Amy Carmichael said in her book, Gold Cord, I don't have the actual passage, something like, as we purpose to walk in the Spirit, taking up our cross, the power of resurrection life that we have exercised has a way of carrying our prayers so that when we come before God on behalf of the lives of men and women, they have an amazing focus and an authority. Prayer's like an arrow. I saw some geese flying over my neighborhood tonight. You know that V formation? I thought of that arrow. And remember when the Apostle Paul said, we don't fight as one that beats the air. Like, we're not fighting like this, but we have a definite opponent. We've got this horrible enemy. He said, I don't fight without certainty, but I fight with definite aim. If we take something to heart, what could God do with that? If we would just choose someone, I was saying this my daughter yesterday, sometimes God shows us things in the congregation. Maybe we don't even know, but we just kind of perceive something and we get a feeling. Maybe there's a divine purpose in that, that we would take that to heart and take it to prayer and watch God change things. Praying always with all prayer and supplication, which is pleading in the Holy Spirit. Persevering and watching, as we heard this morning, for all saints. This is authority. This is wonderful. It's mysterious. It's powerful. It's Jesus Christ himself, and it's what he calls us into. Lord, please teach us to pray. Teach us to be mindful of the things that are true. Help us not to be robbed of this authority, this weapon, and this power. We need you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. And Lord, as we prepare to give in the offering tonight, I pray that you would just hone in, focus our thinking to what really matters and to what we have received from you in ministry. Bless our tithing, bless our offerings, Lord. Give us your mind, your focus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Father, thank you tonight, sin. Thank you that we can speak to God. What a privilege that we can actually talk to God. Thank you, God. so many people that are lost. And you are just there waiting. You wept over Jerusalem. Thank you. Pray that you touch our night. You touch this week in a very unique way. God, the prayer time on Monday night, tomorrow night at 6:30. Every day, 9 to 10, 2 to 3, and 6:30 to 8 o'clock at night. Wednesday service, Friday night, Thursday meetings, prayer meetings, Friday prayer meetings, missions night, Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon. Teach us to pray, God, to not look at it as a mountain, but as something we can leap right over. Not to ever be afraid of it, not to be intimidated, not to be insecure, but just to believe because of who Jesus is, we can pray. We can ask. That prayer is a love relationship. God loving me and me loving God. You are no longer servants. I call you my friends. Friends speak to each other. Thank you tonight, God, that you are our friend. Sticks closer than a brother. So bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Philippians chapter 4. I was thinking, good evening. Are you here tonight? Yes, you are. Good evening. I was thinking about Acts chapter 9, verse 11, when Saul of Tarsus was on the road to Damascus. He got converted. He got saved, born again. And God spoke to Ananias in Damascus, and he said, I want you to go to Judas's house on Straight Street and inquire about one called Saul of Tarsus. And these words, I think you preached the message on it one time, behold, he prays. Behold, he prays. And it's interesting because when we receive Christ as our Savior, the day we are born again, we ask God to come into our lives, right? What is that? That's what? It's prayer. Our Christian life begins with prayer. Jesus, save me. Forgive me. Come into my life. Live in me. That's a prayer. And I think right from that point, it's when the enemy starts to try to distract us from it. Right away, you know, like, okay, you're saved, but I don't want you talking to God. I don't want God talking to you. That's you reading the Bible, and I don't want you talking to God. That's what I would like to have happen, you know? And I remember, and I've told this story before, but when my wife's father passed, which was a tragic thing that happened, as he died at the wheel of a car, of a massive coronary, she was really, really broken up, being an only child, and she loved her father dearly, and I didn't know what to do about it, so I read her the Bible for 3 days. I was an unbelieving drug addict, even high while I was reading her the Bible. And she got saved. And then she prayed for me. And I got saved. So it's quite incredible to think that what prayer can do. And I think you all have your own stories, but behold, he prays. And really, it's just, Spurgeon said, Satan fears the youngest, newest, weakest saint praying to an all-powerful, almighty, omniscient, omnipresent God. He actually fears you. He fears you and your prayers. Because you can just ask, whether it's a little child asking or it's you and I asking as God's little children. But behold, he prays. And I think this is so important. It's so easily lost. I know in my life it's a war. It's a struggle. It's a struggle. And God, help me. Give me grace to pray. And in Philippians chapter 4, there's quite a situation going on, test and trial in the Philippian church. And Paul is in prison and he writes them this statement. And you look at this statement at face value right away and you say, wow, this is incredible for him to say that to them. Be anxious for nothing. Hello? In other words, not even one thing. The word that's used there, it's not a suggestion in the Greek language. It's a command. Stop worrying. Just stop. Okay? I need that sometimes. Like he said this morning, get up. Get up. Just stop. Just stop. Be anxious for the word that's used there, not even one thing. Not one thing. Don't worry about one thing. Wow. Why? But in everything. So he's saying, be anxious for nothing, but there's something you can do in everything. In every single thing. Prayer, supplication, and your requests be made known to God. Are you with me? That's the answer. And I was looking at why there's like three different words that are used there. Prayer, supplication, and request be known to God. First of all, prayer is a word that it's kind of like a word for worship, devotion to God, relationship. I think I can get so caught up, and we can get so caught up in the church and in our individual lives in worshiping God, letting Him love me, Him embracing me, and I embracing Him, that I don't even think about what I wanted to pray about. Are you with me? And like I'm so caught up in prayer. This is the particular Greek word that means devotion, worship, relationship, and love. I'm just so caught up in my relationship with God. And I know that He's going to do everything, in everything. And that becomes more important than the very thing I think I need to have answered. And I'm not saying God will not answer them, but I think first and foremost, my relationship to God. We said yesterday at the lunch wrap, prayer is someone, can you say these words, to, with, for, by, against. Say that fast. Two with four by against. Two with four. Did I say it right? Two with four by against. Prayer is somebody prayed to. Someone prayed to. Jesus Christ. Amen? Prayer is somebody prayed with the body of Christ. Prayer is somebody prayed for lost people, family, other believers. Prayer is somebody, what? What was the next one? Huh? By the Holy Spirit, as Pastor Mark said, and prayer is someone prayed against. Makes prayer very personal, doesn't it? Someone prayed to, someone prayed with, someone prayed for, someone prayed by, and someone prayed against. And really, when I think about prayer, and I think about in everything, he says everything. Be anxious for nothing. There's nothing that should make me anxious because of prayer, supplication, and requests. Big things, small things. Past, present, future. Life's details. Hello? Huh? Finances. My health. Relationships. Marriages. Raising children. Whatever it may be. And I know there are situations that we will all face in our lives, whether they're health issues, relationship issues, financial issues. But God says, be anxious for nothing, and in everything, pray, supplication, and request. And that's the end of that. Isn't that awesome? What I'm saying is, yes, God. Yes, I'm embracing you in this relationship. That this relationship is going to be the answer to all of these things that are going on. It's incredible when I think about that. In everything. You don't understand what's going on in the marriage. Do you see what's happening in our finances? Do you know what's going on in my personal life? I thought about this. This is interesting. In Ephesians, Paul had three prayers in Ephesians. First one was that your eyes would be open, that you would see who you are in Christ. Second one in Ephesians 3 is you'd see who you are in the body. Ephesians 3:14 to the end. And the last prayer is prayer for you're in warfare and to bring the gospel into all the world. It's amazing. There's three prayers. Personal life, body life, and gospel life. It's incredible. And prayer. And I think it's really incredible when we can just say nothing. You know, if we're not careful as leaders and as pastors, maybe a father, life's detail, the ministry details could actually send you over the edge. Hello? Are you with me? I mean, it's like, I mean, you can't, I like what Paul says, that basically none of these things move me. I don't count my life dear to myself. In other words, I am not going to be, besides all this, the care of the church, 2 Corinthians 11:28. He says, above and beyond everything I just mentioned in 2 Corinthians 11 and 12, 37 things, above and beyond all that is the overwhelming care of the church. And you know what? I'm giving that to God. Martin Luther said one night, he was really worried about things that were going on in the church. He looked out the window and he said, it was like the Spirit said to him, go to sleep. You're not the head. Give the head the issues, okay? You're the body. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be concerned, but this is in the hand of God. Amen? I want to cast all of my cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for me. There's this relationship that maybe I'm bringing something and it's serious or it really means a lot to me and I'm not taking away from that. But my all-embracing love and devotion and relationship to Jesus Christ puts that in its place. And that doesn't become the major issue in my life. I say it's there, and God, I'm giving it to you. You know, and I don't go running to take it back. Hello. Huh? You know how we say it. I gave that to God. Huh? And you chased him down to make sure that he handled it. You chased him down to make sure. We chased him down to make sure he handled it the right way. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I gave it to God. Yeah. There you go. You know, make sure it happens the way you want it to happen. Augustine's mother prayed, God, do not let my son go to Rome. He's got tendencies in his flesh. He's living a wicked life. He goes to Rome. This is going to be horrible. He goes to Rome and he meets Bishop Ambrose and he gets converted. And Augustine becomes a great saint. I think you just give it to God. All embracing is prosuke. It's all embracing. There's a devotion and there's a love and there's a relationship. And you know what? That's not going to change whether it's answered or it's not answered. It's not about whether it's answered or it's not answered. It's about my relationship with Jesus Christ. That's prayer and supplication. God knows I have certain wants and needs and desires. That word deesis means desires. I have certain desires. And I'm not so sure if my desires are always what God's desires are. So that's where the word request comes in. It means a definite help. God is going to help you in exactly what you need. It's an asking for help prayer. And I was thinking about Psalm 12. David would cry one word in his prayer life, help! Yasha! Help! Help! I need help. That's it, right? That's it, help. We're on a boat crossing Lake Victoria, and I was with Pastor Duane, and he's fishing in a storm. And I'm downstairs vomiting because I don't like boats and praying for help that we would get across this ridiculous lake 24 hours on a boat. And he's like, he's just enjoying himself fishing. Like winds are, everything is blowing and the ship is like this. And yeah. I said, like, you know, we could die. He goes, fishing. This is like awesome. God, help me. Please help me. Help. But an all-embracing devotion and love relationship to him. Someone prayed too. We're together tonight. We'll be together all week. Someone prayed with the body of Christ. Someone prayed for lost relatives, Christians that have gone the wrong way, okay? People at work, in the neighborhood, someone prayed for. Someone prayed by the power of the Holy Spirit to give me an ability to pray. And somebody definitely prayed against Satan and his demons. This is the key. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. With thanksgiving, prayer and thanksgiving, let your request, supplication, let your request be made known to God. Father, thank you tonight. Thank you. Behold, he prays. Behold, he prays. That's how he started his Christian life. got converted and was blinded, couldn't do anything, led by the hand, but he could do something. Leonard Ravenhill said, "Few preach, but all can pray." Thank you. All can pray. We can pray. We pray for our city tonight, God, city of Baltimore. We pray for massive conversions, a revival in the city, drug addicts delivered, alcoholics transformed, marriages reconciled, people born again, churches on fire for God, angelic interference in the county, in the streets. Touch our city, God, with your spirit. Someone prayed to, Jesus, we're praying to you. Someone prayed with the body. Someone prayed for the city of Baltimore. Someone prayed by the Spirit. Someone prayed against the devil and his demons. We pray for this city, God. Touch this city, for this country, the United States of America, a foundation for missions for decades. God, touch our country. It's not about politics. It's not about laws and governments and taxes and all kinds of things that are being done. It's about Christians, believers, light, salt and light, and prayer. Change our country, God. It's very possible. You did it in Korea. You can change this country, God. Our families. Jesus, touch our families. Our personal lives. God, change us. Teach us to pray. Change us. Help us not to be anxious for anything, but to trust you. David said three times in Psalm 37, "Fret not. Stop being disturbed." Jesus said it, Matthew 6, "Take no thought." Peter said it, 1 Peter 5, 7. Paul said it, Philippians 4, 6. "Be anxious for nothing." All of them are telling us to relax and look to God. Stop trying to do these things ourselves, but to give it to the all-embracing one who loves us, who is able, for with him nothing is impossible. Jesus, please help. Help us, God. Help us. Deliver us from anxiety, from fear, from doubt, from human reason into your perfect plan. Thank you. You love us tonight. You hear our prayers. It's all embracing. It's love. It's devotion. You care about us. Not that we love you, but you first loved us. You've given us mercy. You've given us grace. You've given us a purpose. You've given us power. You've given us authority. You've given us a finished work victory. You've given us a church. Thank you, God. With thanksgiving. Praying with thanksgiving. And supplication tonight. Give it to God tonight. Something personal and something very particular. Maybe it's about a person. Maybe it's about an area of your own life, my life, an area, situation that's going on. Just give it to God right now. The embracing and the devotion, the prayer, the relationship, and now the supplication. Make it known to God. Something very precise, very clear. Just stand with me and pray a supplication. I'm giving you this, God. I'm believing you tonight for this, God. For a husband, for a wife, for a child, for a person at work, for a neighbor, for reconciliation, for finances, for health, something very particular and something very precise. That's supplication. You're embracing me tonight. I'm embracing you. That's prayer, but supplication tonight. Just lift your hands and give him that thing, that one thing. Could be a person. Give it to God tonight. And just watch what God does this week. in that situation, in that person. Let's believe God for in 7 days, there'll be a testimony about what God has done. We're not afraid to say that. In 7 days, God, there's going to be changes in us, in people, in finances, in health. There's going to be healing. There's going to be power given, authority, victory, transformation, salvations. And here's our request. We're asking for help. It's prayer, all-embracing relationship, love and devotion, supplication for something precise, personal and particular, and then requests. We're asking for your help, God. We ask for your help, God. Hebrews 4:16, to find grace to help in time of need. Do you believe God tonight? We believe God. Say, I believe God. I believe him tonight. I don't believe myself. I don't believe others. I don't believe my flesh. I don't believe the devil. I believe God. Three simple words, but very powerful. There's one word between I and God. It's called believe. I believe God. I believe it. Say it. I believe God. Say it to the atmosphere. Say it so your conscious and unconscious hear it. I believe God. I believe God. We're embracing you tonight. You're embracing us. You're loving us. We're loving you. You're devoted to us. We're devoted to you. Thank you, God. Our supplications, something personal, something very precise, something that's very particular in our lives. And then asking for your help. We thank you tonight. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, you may be seated for a moment. We'll have a closing song. There'll be a 20-minute break for the cafe if you want to grab something. And then we'll start the movie. Could we put up on the screen the prayer calendar schedule for the week just to go over this? Okay. Every night, is this right, Pastor Shabelli? 6:30. Okay, there will also be like a short message. So if you want to come from work, stop in, be here for an hour in prayer, and do something new this week, you are, you know, of course, this is what we're going to be doing all through the week. It's our emphasis. What we heard tonight, Pastor Shabelli spoke to our hearts. Pastor Minicello, that was so awesome. I'm encouraged in my own heart with regards to what we're doing. When we were in Europe, when we first went to Finland, people would ask us in Finland, why did you come to Finland? And I would say, I don't really know. But out of 39 countries, that was the country that the Lord sent us to. And I lived there for a number of years, and this was 40 years ago. And if you were to ask me today where would be the best mission field to go to in Europe, I would say Finland. But 40 years ago, I didn't know that. You know, I'm just saying, why did we go? I don't know. Prayer. Pastor Shabelli is here. We're on the same team. Pastor Love, Pastor Taggart, huge number of people. Pastor Gromov, Pastor Plunkett go around the world. Pastor Stan Collins, Pastor Bruce Moon, Don Barnes, Harry Weisskopf, just name all the. Where did all these people come from? High quality people. Paul Nye. Where'd they come from? I don't know. Where did they come? They don't make them like that anymore. Actually, God does. It's like, it's amazing. Prayer. Why travel hundreds of millions of miles as an organization? Hundreds of million. I honestly believe it's hundreds of millions of miles without plane crashes. Very few. We've had car accidents. Some people have gone to be with the Lord through that and so on. But I have to say that God has answered our prayers. How much money has gone through our fingers? How many days have we lived? Think faith, God, prayer, and we will. Hallelujah, and we'll be there. It's beautiful. We just are in prayer. Turn off every month. You each for simple. We've been sent. That's impossible. Now we're going to say before God, Lord, change it, do it, hear us, answer, Lord. Jesus, it is possible. You can do it, Lord. You can do it. Yes, Lord. The prodigal come home. Finances reversed, lonely heart being restored, the addiction disappearing, the personal problem just vanishing. It is possible with God. Maybe cigarette smoking gone, just gone. Maybe people with health problems just gone, just gone. Oh, the Lord is alive, stinks. You're bored. You don't have anything going on in a spiritual way. You just come into the church and you just are here. And you're just kind of, in a way, personally bored. And so you're just fooling around. It's like, it's amazing when you get that prayer going. And you go, it's the furthest thing from my mind to be drinking. When I'm just totally, hey, him is my example. Hey, Donald Trump doesn't drink. I mean, Jewish people do not drink. Why do they succeed? Maybe because they're not so stupid. You know, yeah, but you know, it's so, you know, whatever. It's like, well, okay, go deeper. It's so much fun to have a relationship with God. You get a relationship with God. Wow. It's so much fun. Okay, so that's that.